All right. Well, thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. God bless you, saints. Appreciate you so much for being with us today. And Father, we thank you, Lord, for having mercy upon us and granting us grace to walk in your steps today and to be overcomers in all things. And we ask you, Lord, to get this revelation across to your people, Lord. We think it's an important one. And so we thank you so much for doing that, Father, in Jesus' name. Well, all right, saints, I think I have a very important thing to share with you. We're going to call it Planned Decapitation and Martial Law Captivity. Okay? First, I want to explain that we have received many, many warnings through Scripture in our morning meetings, through asking God questions and believing He's answering and receiving Scripture for it. And these warnings that a Babylonish captivity of sorts is planned for the church. You say, well, I think we've been in Babylon. This is true, okay, but there is a resurgence of it according to the types in the Scripture, and I want to talk about that. And by the way, the church is usually typed as Israel in Scripture. Remember, Israel had 12 patriarchs, and so did the church. And they were called the Old Testament church, right? So the things that happened unto them are for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages are come, we're told. So we watch those words because they're prophecies of the future. And, of course, while David Manchild is over Jerusalem Bride, who is over Israel as a type of the church, both of these have the 12 forefathers, clearly identifying the parallel that we're talking about. And just remember, when Israel came out of this captivity, they went into the wilderness, which Revelation 12 and 17 identifies as the first and second 3.5 years of the tribulation. It's called wilderness there. So, the church today is coming out of Egypt, or Babylon, is coming out of beastly captivity, right, to enter a tribulation. But even as they were freed by Pharaoh, as we also have been, Pharaoh later decided to again entrap them at the Red Sea, which is where we are going now. You know, the deep state faction will attempt to bring the Christians again into captivity through, I believe, decapitation of our government as the Trump leadership. Let me say that I read years ago about the Russians' plan for the United States should there come a place where they believed that a nuclear war was going to start. And their plan was, through sleeper cells in America, to decapitate the government first. Now, that makes a lot of sense if you're, you know, thinking of the way of the world. And I don't think this has escaped the deep state. They've got an enemy. They want to decapitate and then take the people, right? So, a religious deep state faction is attempting to cause a parallel decapitation of the man-child heads, as we just saw, you know, when they took down our website and computers. So, the martial law entrapment will happen, but I believe it will fail due to the Red Sea and our Almighty Father. Okay, if God's people are about to go into the wilderness tribulation behind the man-child reformer company, worldwide, they must first be freed of their Babylonish captivity to apostate Christianity and its leaders. They worship their leaders. They worship that system. They don't think there can be any truth outside of that system. But make no mistake, the deep state wants to bring the church into martial law and decapitate its leaders and their assets, like their churches. And I believe, you know, in martial law, of course, churches are not a place to be gathered in. It's not even legal, large gatherings and things under martial law, and for other reasons, okay? And I believe this is God's plan to deliver his people from apostate leaders so that they can follow, so that the people can follow the anointed man-child ministries into the wilderness tribulation. We have spoken about ways that martial law would certainly come to pass, like a false flag plagues or enhanced earthquakes that take down pipelines and power and volcanic activity, and EMP. We've spoken about that too. Any of these would bring martial law. You know, any or all of them would bring martial law. And it seems that there are dreams out there of all of these and more bringing martial law. So an EMP, of course, is electromagnetic pulse from nuclear weapons. With, if they were, for instance, any old boat could pull up outside the United States there and shoot up a missile and nothing could really stop it that close. We know that Al-Qaeda, for instance, and ISIS, has a fleet of boats, and all they need is some larger state-sponsored weaponry to do this job. And, of course, nobody in their right mind would openly shoot a missile to EMP the United States. They'd be obliterated. Okay, so what they do is they use, which is what they've said from the beginning they were going to use, ISIS and people like that, to do this. And these people are suicidal anyway. So it's not a problem for them. This is a big deal for them. And, of course, if you studied what EMP does in bringing down the grid and killing just millions and millions of people, ultimately within a year, many, many millions of people would be dead. And I don't believe this is going to be a full U.S. takedown of the grid. I believe it's going to be partial. But other things also are going to be used. And I think they've planned this thing out. And, of course, all this will result in the fall of the economy, which again brings martial law. You know, everything we're talking about here is going to bring down the economy and martial law. And we've been told that God will be merciful. I asked him just recently, Lord, can we pray this whole thing away? And God said no. And I asked him, well, can we pray to lessen it? And he said yes. And so I do believe that the Lord's going to be merciful, but his people must learn to fear him, and they must be freed from this evil religious system to which they are captive. We are called to walk in the steps of Jesus, not the steps of dead religion, right? But God's people are in bondage, so God's got a plan. And I'm just telling you what I believe this plan will incorporate. And for a minute, I want to talk to you about the attempted assassination of the man-child. Brother Denny received this morning, by faith at random, the same verse that we received on Friday. when that happens, we say, okay, we didn't pay enough attention to this. Let's go back and look at it, you know, because, you know, everybody that comes is getting a word by faith at random. And so we go through them and we pray them the best we can. And if they come back again, we look at them and pray them again. Okay. So, And this verse that Denny got, we see as a type of a factious attempt on the life of Paul as a type of the man-child. Acts 23 and 12. And when it was day, the Jews banded together and bound themselves under a curse, saying that they would neither eat nor drink until they had killed Paul. Now that's clearly a faction. It's Jews against Jews, you know. And they were more than 40 that made this conspiracy. And they came to the chief priests and the elders and said, "We have bound ourselves under a great curse." Big mistake. "To taste nothing until we have killed Paul." Well, you can imagine what might have happened to them, you know. But I'm sure they gave up there after a while, but they still had the curse to deal with, you know. And the Satanist faction will fall into their own trap, because Father has said many times that they who lay a trap for the righteous will fall into it themselves. And so it is at the Red Sea. They thought they had trapped God's people, but they had trapped themselves. Verse 15, "Now therefore do ye with the council signify to the chief captain that he bring him down unto you, as though ye would judge of his case more exactly. And we, before he comes near, are ready to slay him." Let me say this. We know from experience that the stupid demons have put their people at a great disadvantage, because they literally don't have the ability to concentrate and see things in a right view, you know. And just as they're being outsmarted on both the political and the religious realm, because there's a parallel there. We've been watching it. It's just awesome. Let me just say that God never creates an enemy who can outsmart him. Now, that wouldn't be very smart of God, would it? No. And he's never done that. You know, he has control over all vessels, the vessels of honor and the vessels of dishonor. Now, if you don't think that this is likely, and you may not heard about this, here's a portion of the report of the attempted assassination of Israel's leader and our own political leader. Does that sound like another parallel? Well, yes. Remember, Israel kind of represents the church, right? So, President Trump is, of course, who they were attempting to assassinate. And all of this, I believe, was thwarted through prayer and spiritual warfare. But I'm going to give you this anyway so you can see that this is a serious thing, and we've already had it prophesied before this point, you see. And this was on June the 6th. It's a "What Does It Mean?" article. G7 Trump assassination fears rise as plot to kill Israeli leader leads to the arrest of White House defense official, by Sorcha Fall, as reported to her Western subscribers. A grimly worded, and I'm just giving you a portion of this, right? A grimly worded new Foreign Intelligence Service report circulating in the Kremlin today says that the Shin Bet, the security hold, placed against revealing details related to the plot to assassinate Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, was due to their needing time until their global accomplice unraveling process could be completed. In other words, you have to chase all these leads down and try to get everybody at one time. If you make a big noise at the beginning, everybody runs, right? So they were quiet for a while until they had thought that they had to run down every lead, okay? But that was lifted just hours ago after a U.S. National Defense worker named Martise Edwards was captured and arrested while attempting to enter the White House, thus leading Russian intelligence analysts to fear that President Donald Trump is being targeted for assassination too during his visit within the next 36 hours to Ottawa, Canada, to attend the G7 summit. and is where, in 1972, the American shadow government, Deep State, attempted to assassinate President Richard Nixon. Okay, skipping on down. Hundreds of top U.S. political and social leaders have been publicly assassinated for daring to go against the Deep State. This is true. A little further down. The Deep State always wants visual evidence of their assassinations so that they can manipulate the narrative. After all, you saw with your own eyes. But whose crimes, though never prosecuted, are fully known. To the SVR's fears that President Trump is soon to join this ever-growing list of Deep State lone gunmen assassinated American political leaders, which, by the way, is something that the Russians have believed for some time, and truly there were have been attempts to assassinate Trump that failed. And this report concludes is due to information received from Shin Bet about the plotters they captured a few weeks ago who were planning to assassinate Prime Minister Netanyahu, and whom the Israelis were able to confirm had been in contact with state elements within the government intelligence services of both Canada and the United Kingdom, and whose secure communications were being overseen by elements within President Trump's own White House, and who, after receiving this information from the Israelis, captured and arrested a man named Martise Edwards as he was about to walk into the White House where he works, and who is a U.S. Department of Defense executive assistant and is also a U.S. Defense Intelligence Agency armed officer, but whose official cover story arrest of is said to be due to his supposedly shooting in the leg his former gal pal's new lover over a month ago, thus leaving, as always, more questions needing to be answered than are ever answered. Deep State operative Martise Edwards supposedly shoots gal pal's new lover on May the 3rd, and then 2 weeks later, on May the 17th, arrest warrant supposedly issued, and then, nearly a full month later, on June the 5th, he's finally arrested for attempted murder, who makes up unbelievable cover stories like this. Who can make them up, you know? Dream warnings of assassination of Trump and the man-child are given so that God's people will bind and confuse the enemy so that this is cast down and doesn't come to pass, at least not in a physical way. We know we've seen the spiritual way, how that there is a death and burial and resurrection that is most important, right? So I'm going to remind you, I'm just going to use a piece of Matthew Stewart's dream on 4:26, and just give you a portion of it. He said, the Lord gave me this dream on 4:26:18. This dream I have had before, so it's a duplicate, which means it's going to come to pass, you know. This came just before the assassination / decapitation of myself and the ministry through a factious hacking attack on our website. So, you see the type and the shadow there. Matthew said, I was a detective and investigating a disappearing and or murder of a police officer. So I went to the police officer's desk with Leon to look for clues. Well, a police officer represents, I believe, an elder, in this case a David, who represents the man-child who enforces God's law. Because it's always in the enforcement of the law that these people get angry. And so it was with Judas. Yeah, these assassinations have always come when sin is corrected and the assassin rejects the word. And this is what happened to Judas, who was offended about the ointment, remember, because it didn't prosper him. He was a thief, right? And then betrayed Jesus to the Pharisees. Okay. Back to Matthew. He said, in the dream, I remembered that I had received this dream before and remembered who the killer was. And through the whole dream, I wanted to get right to the end of the dream and catch the killer, but I couldn't until I had enough evidence. So the dreams weren't exactly the same. The dream was added to at the end, you see. So there was a room there for us to cast down the works of Satan. And by the way, to kill someone is to assassinate their character. Psalm 11 and 2 says, for lo, the wicked bend the bow, they make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may shoot in darkness at the upright in heart. Yes. A little further down, then Leon pulled out a Bible, you know, when they were doing the investigation into who done it, right? With the victimized officer's name on it. This could mean that the officer was spiritually killed through faction. And now we had enough evidence to arrest the killer, who was a police officer as well, which is faction, a police officer killing another police officer. Well, it kind of sounds like, and it actually happened shortly after this dream was given, that assassination happened. You know, hacking our site, taking it offline, which was cutting us off, the head off from the body, so on and so forth. There was a decapitation there. So. And this dream came, and I wrote most of what I've written as far as interpretation before the assassination of myself and the site. So that, you know, I'm just, that's the only part of that dream I want to share with you. I'm just wanting to make the point here. Now Eve had a dream on 5-6. And we called it Trump/David assassination. She said, I dreamed that Matthew, David, and I, along with another man and woman, were standing in the foyer of a building where local UBM was meeting. The foyer had all glass front on it with a heavy glass door, kind of like a storefront in a shopping strip. Now, it's interesting that Eve had this on 5-6-18, and Matthew's came on 4-26-18, and now Matthew is in this dream, and it's the Lord is tying these two together. Okay. Matthew went on to say it was overcast outside, and as we were conversing, I saw a red-haired dog running up to the UBM storefront foyer with the right hand of Donald Trump, his master, in his mouth. A dog. And let me just ask, who is the right hand of Donald Trump? Is it not the Christians who support him and do his works? So we see that he has been separated from his constituency, and it could be by martial law, okay, because we've had dreams about that. That's just the cause of many things or many judgments that the Lord has said are coming upon these United States. And this is just as we were separated by the religious faction from our brethren by hacking our computers and website. A parallel. We've been told for a long time there was a parallel between the David Manchild Company, of which God sometimes uses me as a type, you know, in dreams and things, and Donald Trump. And, you know, the the authority to keep Donald Trump doing what he's doing is happening because of people who are behind him praying and commanding the principalities and powers who run things out there. You see, if you want to know who the real president is, you need to look behind Donald Trump, because there's somebody else ruling back there. Go far enough back and you see Jesus. Come a little bit closer and you see those people who are walking in Jesus' steps and are his mouthpieces and are doing his work and doing the spiritual warfare. Okay. The dog knew Matthew was a detective. Okay, that connects it to the previous dream. And was desperately trying to communicate to us that three mafia thugs had assassinated Trump by cutting off his right hand so that he had bled to death. And, of course, Proverbs 14 and 12, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death, right? Notice that the connection to Matthew as the investigator of the death of the police officer above, that these are both speaking about Trump man-child parallel. Okay? So, Matthew opened the door and stooped down to take the hand from the dog's mouth. The dog was whining and whimpering to Matthew, and Matthew said, "This isn't good. Trump has been assassinated." And my thought is, cut off as we were from the body. Okay. Now, we've had many Trump assassination warnings. We've prayed them physically away. Okay. But we also know that Trump's going through a death, burial, and resurrection of his own, just like the man-child is, right? And they've been hidden. They've hidden the body, Matthew went on to say. And they've hidden the body. Then he turned to David and said to us all, "They're coming after David next." Okay, so they will try in martial law. I mean, the first thing you want to do is decapitate the government. Then you want to take control of the United States. How would you do that? Well, first you'd try to take down Trump and his cabinet, and then you would try to bring martial law through many means on the country so that there is no legal process or no way that the Christians can reach their government and get due process, right? And that's their mortal enemy, right? So I believe that they will try in martial law to take down all leadership of the church. They will fail with the man-child Davids, just as they have in Scripture, and we'll see in a few minutes. But the apostate leadership will be taken to free the people. I'll remind you of a dream that Mary had many years ago of the leaders of Christianity all locked up in a cage, and the people were grieving because these people were locked up. But I understood at the time the reason for them being locked up is they are spiritual criminals. They have not told God's people the truth, which sets free. They've cost many, many lives, both spiritually and physically, because of their lies. They're criminals. So, then of course, there's a reason for them having to be locked up, cut off from the body. And that is so that the people will look elsewhere. They will not trust them. They will see that they are in bondage, spiritually speaking, and they will go elsewhere. And that's why God is providing this reformer ministry called the Man-Child Ministry to come and lead God's people through this coming tribulation with signs and wonders and miracles because they walk in the steps of the real Jesus. Okay? So I believe they will fail to take down the man-child Davids. I know they will fail to take down the man-child Davids, but they will not fail to take down the leadership of the apostate church. Okay. I then opened the glass door and watched the dog run back down the street to the left a little way and begin trying to dig underneath a dark blue painted rowboat that had been turned upside down on the land. Well, you know, something about a rowboat, it's man-powered. and upside down, it won't float. And it does nobody any good. It won't save anybody, right? I turned towards the others and I said, "They have hidden Trump's body under that boat." Again, an upside down boat, especially a man powered boat, is not going to save anybody. And dark blue represents heavenly at night. Have you ever gone out at night? Watched the heavens turn from light blue to dark blue. And darkness, of course, is what's coming over America. Trump's body has not been saved from this difficulty. You see, the body is under that boat. And by the way, that's their boat. It's capsized and it's a man-powered boat, as any rowboat is. It will be a spiritual death unto them, like the baptism in the Red Sea. Resurrection and outpouring comes on the other side of the Red Sea, doesn't it? Okay, remember the Red Sea was a baptism, according to Paul, a death, burial, and resurrection. They went into the sea. The old man died, the one chasing them, the old man who attempted to bring them into bondage, which is your flesh, went down, and they came up on the other side. A resurrection life. So, and Matthew said, "I'm going to investigate this further, and then I woke up." Well, okay, that's pretty neat. "I asked Father for a word concerning this dream and the assassination plans for David and received Isaiah 36 and 7. And my finger was on, 'If thou say unto me,'" and the context is Isaiah 36, 1 through 10. Listen carefully. "Now it came to pass in the 14th year of King Hezekiah that Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came up against all the fortified cities of Judah and took them." By the way, he had already conquered Israel, the northern 10 tribes, and now he came up against Judah, which is the full gospel people, and took them too. So he took down Israel as a type of the church, but failed to take down the bride city of Jerusalem and its son of David, man-child Hezekiah. Okay, notice in the text, you'll know that that's what happened. Verse 2, "And the king of Assyria sent Rabshakeh from Lachish to Jerusalem unto King Hezekiah with a great army. He stood by the conduit of the upper pool in the highway of the fuller's field. Then came forth unto him Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, who was over the household, and Shebna the scribe, and Joah, the son of Asaph, the recorder. And Rabshakeh said unto them, 'Say ye now to Hezekiah,'" who was the man-child son of David, right? Just like Jesus was the son of David, right? And the man-child is also spiritually the son of David in the end time. So, "Thus saith the great king, the king of Assyria, what confidence is this wherein thou trustest?" They trusted in the Lord, didn't they? "I say, thy counsel and strength for the war are but vain words. Now on whom dost thou trust that thou hast rebelled against me? Behold, thou trustest upon the staff of this bruised reed, even upon Egypt." Trusting in the old man, right? Going back into bondage, the old man. "Whereon, if a man lean, it will go into his hand and pierce it. So is Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to all that trust on him. But if thou say unto me, we trust in the Lord our God, is it not he whose high places and whose altars Hezekiah hath taken away, and hath said to Judah and to Jerusalem, you shall worship before this altar? Yes, of course, and that was the truth. You know, there was no other altar for them to worship at, except the golden calves, right? Now, therefore, I pray thee, give pledges to my master the king of Assyria, and I will give thee 2,000 horses, if thou be able on thy part to set riders upon them. How then canst thou turn away the face of one captain of the least of my master's servants, and put thy trust on Egypt for chariots and for horsemen? And am I now come up without the Lord against this land to destroy it? The Lord said unto me, go up against this land and destroy it. Yes, he did. and of course, God did his will there. God sent an angel and smote 185,000 of his mighty men, and the army had their Red Sea, and the people were freed to go into the wilderness. Very interesting. So that was a perfect answer. And notice who escaped. The bride city escaped. But the apostate northern 10 tribes did not escape, nor their golden calf save them. And Judah itself, which is so-called spirit-filled, but if you're not in the presence of God and God is not in your heart like he is in Jerusalem, it doesn't make any difference if you've been so-called spirit-filled. There's as much garbage out there in spirit-filled Christianity as there is in the rest of it. So, she said, I asked Father for a word concerning Trump being assassinated, and my finger was on the word slew. In Jeremiah 20 and 17. What's the chances of that? Huh? Some people say, oh, there ain't nothing to this stuff here. No, not if you don't believe it. So, Jeremiah 20, 17, in context, 14 through 18. Jeremiah 20, 14 through 18, cursed be the day wherein I was born. Let not the day wherein my mother bare me be blessed. Cursed be the man who brought tidings to my father, saying, a man-child is born unto thee. Yes, and what's going to be born in the midst of all this? The man-child. Making him very glad. And let that man be as the cities which the Lord overthrew and repented not, and let him hear a cry in the morning and shouting at noontime. Sounds like an attack to me at the time of the man-child, right? Because he slew me not from the womb, and so my mother would have been my grave, and her womb always great. Wherefore came I forth out of the womb to see labor and sorrow, that my days should be consumed with shame. Mm-hmm. So, Eve's dream to take down Trump by cutting off his right hand, and then the Davids being cut off, is what they would like to do before or during a false flag martial law by EMP and other means. Okay. Other means that brought about an EMP. Many of the things we've talked about for some time, in fact, most all of them, would bring about martial law. And this is a way to completely control communications, people, while taking out quite a few people. EMP is going to take out people. Lots of people are going to die in EMP. We can pray at least part of this down. The attempt on the man-child bride, we know, is not going to happen. We just saw that in the context. But scripture type shows that Israel, as a type of the church, is captured with their leadership. Then the beast army was beaten at the Red Sea, and Israel was freed to go into the wilderness tribulation. without their previous leadership and assets like the churches. You remember Joel chapter 2, how God had an army that marched through the northern 10 tribes, came through Judah, came up to Jerusalem, and was smitten by the Lord, the northern army. That's their Sennacherib scenario, you know. And they burned. I was thinking about how the churches were burned, you know, a few years back, if you remember. People went around burning churches, something Muslims love to do, and they've done, you know, throughout the Middle East, burn churches. And they can do it here. And we know also that the deep state has used ISIS to do its dirty work in the Middle East, including killing an awful lot of Christians and threatening Israel and on and on. What do you think they're going to do here? Or what do you think they want to do here, right? And by the way, during plagues and martial law and great earthquakes, crowds are avoided. Okay, so people gathering in churches is not something you'd do if there's any kind of plague going on, you know. And so basically these people are going to be out there looking and listening and, you know, associating with people they'd never associated with before. And God's going to do His mighty work. And so, also, I want to point out to you this word from Sandy Shaw, which we call the bride spared is spared of martial law. So listen carefully. It's very neat what the Lord's doing and how He brings all these wonderful revelations to us so we can understand. Sandy said, in a dream I was in a store with Merlene, Amber, and Eve. We were getting supplies. A man came up to us and said in a frantic voice, "You ladies need to go home. You must go home right now." Then we looked at each other and went to the car. And we just sat there and were thinking on what the man said. In the background, I heard all kinds of sirens going off, tornado, air raid, police car, ambulance, fire truck, and so on. Well, the Lord arrested me on this, and I stopped and meditated on it, and I understood that these are warnings of things that have happened, like police cars come after a crime, ambulance after someone is hurt, fire truck after the fire is started, but then also there were things incoming, like tornado. You know, that's a preparation, a warning of something to come, not has come, to come, and air raid sirens. Again, same thing. Okay. And below this, we're going to get to it in a minute, but missiles were incoming. So there was something that was already happening. Some disasters were already happening before this point in the dream. We heard them, but we didn't see them, Sandy said. They heard about the disasters, but were not affected by them, right? Okay, because these are talking about the bride people. They didn't seem to go in any one direction, but we're all over. I said, "Lord, we surrender all to You." That's right. So they want to take the country captive. They want to overthrow it. This is a coup. Okay. This is going into captivity. It's like when Pharaoh was finally forced to let the people go. He did. This happened. Pharaoh was forced. The people were let go. This past administration and the one that was planning to come had God's people in bondage and had cut them off from any resort to the government. But it didn't stop there. They took off towards the Red Sea. Pharaoh decided he made a big mistake. He decided to go and get them back, you know. Then she said, we were all of a sudden, we were outside a huge tent. All of UBM was there. And David said, the Lord said it is time to go into the big, huge tent. Well, let me say, a tent doesn't offer physical protection from man-made dangers, you know. This tent represents a spiritual place of safety, like our Exodus 12 Passover of the destroyer, and our Psalm 91 secret place of the Most High. You know, it represents a secret place of the Most High, a place of safety, a Passover, right? And we know that the Passover was a protection from the destroyer that was passing over. We know that Psalm 91, it says, 1,000 shall fall at thy right and 10,000 at thy left, but it will not come nigh thee. It was a place of protection, the secret place of the Most High, right? And notice, all of UBM was there? Well, now just think about that. I got to tell you, all of UBM is not going to escape this. Not all of natural UBM. Spiritual UBM will. All of UBM here, it cannot be our physical ministry. But all those who have eaten all of the lamb, as Exodus 12 gives us a condition, all of the lamb means all of the word. You're accepting everything that the word has to say. You're not believing your dead religion. You're just accepting what the word says. And by the way, the other condition was you had to partake of only the unleavened bread in order to be qualified for a Passover according to Exodus 12. The unleavened bread is, well, like Jesus. Jesus preached the unleavened bread. He was the bread that came out of heaven that gives life to the world, he said, you know. And he said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and beware of the leaven of Herod. There's all kind of stuff that comes at God's people and has perverted them. This God and country thing, that's that Herod leaven, you know. And these Pharisees and Sadducees, of course, it's their teaching, as the Bible clearly says. And we got them today, too. So, those who partook of leaven were cut off. This means the pure word that frees from sin and shows that Jesus was the Lamb who bore the curse for us in order to escape. Galatians 3:13, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree. Galatians 3:14, that upon the Gentiles might come the blessing of Abraham in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. How cool is that? Well, there's almost all of the church doesn't teach this, that Jesus bore the curse of sin. What is the curse of sin? It's the curse that comes upon men because they sin. Okay. And Colossians 1:13 also comes to me. It says, who delivereth us out of the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. Oh, praise God. So there is an escape. Most of God's people do not believe in the way of escape. And Jesus said, be it unto you according to your faith, and as you have believed, so shall it be unto you. Meaning they can't escape. And the double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Think not that that man shall receive anything of the Lord. Right? So they teach you to be double-minded. They teach you to disobey the word and not to believe the word. You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. You can't stay free without the truth, and they won't tell you. They stand in the door and hinder anybody else from going in, they won't go in, and they hinder everybody else from going in. That's what Jesus said about the Pharisees. And that's what they do. Talk about healing, forget it. Talk about deliverance from the curse, forget it. If they ain't got it, it can't be had. That's the same attitude the Pharisees had when Jesus came. He had to be wrong. So, then Sandy said, in the middle of the tent, chairs were set up, and all around the inside perimeter were movable room dividers that formed little cubicles with two cots, sleeping bag, and pillows. And on the far right side, in other words, a place to rest. The way you enter into safety is by entering into the rest. He that hath believed doth enter into that rest. There remaineth therefore a sabbatismos, which means a continual Sabbath. There's only one Sabbath for the people of God in the New Testament. A sabbatismos. And it means a continual rest, not a Saturday or a Sunday, a continual rest. And how do you enter that rest? By believing the promises. If you believe the promises, you can rest. You don't have to save yourself. You don't have to, you know, meet the requirements of the law. You don't have to be under the law. Right? So, there was this opportunity of rest, and there it was a place of rest inside the tent. And she went on to say the far right side was a long white table with three big containers of water and white plastic cups. Well, obviously, a group of people like that will need a lot more than that. Well, not in the spirit, because the only thing really needed for this protection is the water of the Word. And coming from a clean vessel, a white plastic cup, right? That's never been used by man, right? Now, there were a lot of people coming in, she said. When the last one came in, someone said, "Close the door." Then David said, "The Lord will let us know when to open it again." And of course, this brings to mind the Passover of the destroyer. They were not to leave their houses with the blood on the doorposts and on the lintel, or they would not have protection. And in like manner, the ark could not be opened until the flood waters had receded, right? So we see that principle there. God can protect you. Just obey Him. He can protect you. He can cause them not to see you and not to know what you're doing whatsoever. Well, notice that the people were warned into the tent by the things that had already happened, like plagues and earthquakes and volcanic activity and the loss of work, and so on. But after entering the tent, what looked like an EMP happened by incoming missiles and martial law, which took the people into captivity. And as we were told many times that this was going to come, so... So then, Sandy says, "I'm looking around at all the people, and I'm standing next to Merlene, and Jeff is on the other side of me. And I said, 'Merlene, do you hear that?' And she said, 'Hear what?' I said, 'That high-pitched whistle.' She said, 'No.' Then I tapped Jeff's hand. 'Do you hear that?' 'Hear what?' I said, 'That high-pitched whistle.' He said, 'No.' Well, it was incoming missiles." Then Bill was walking by, and I said, "Bill, come here, can you?" And he, "Do you hear that?" He said, "Hear what?" "That high-pitched sound." "Are you for real, Sandy?" he said. And I said, "Yeah." Then David looks our way across the room and started walking towards us, and he said, "How's things going?" And I said, "David, can you hear that high-pitched sound?" He listened, and he said, "No." Within a minute or two, we heard an explosion, and then two more, right behind that one. The high-pitched whistle, I believe, represented missiles coming in. So, they went into the tent because of things that were forcing them there that were already happening. And, you get your faith, raised up when you see things happening around you. You claim it won't come upon you. You put your trust in the Lord. You're not under the curse. Jesus bore the curse for you. You understand these verses, and that's what puts you in the rest and able to partake of the real water, and you're in a place of safety. So, we've been warned for some time of a coming false flag nuclear EMP attack to stop the imminent prosecution of the criminal elements and to discredit Trump's North Korea deal by blaming it on them. I believe that they are going to blame this on the North Koreans. And this would stop everything but the military, who have some hardened equipment in preparation for this. Meaning hardened, meaning it won't be affected by EMP. Not all of the military stuff is hardened, but they have some stuff that's hardened, from what I understand. So, after we heard that, there was commotion within the tent. And someone says, "There are soldiers near." And David said, "Do not open the tent." Then we started to feel the earthquake. Well, there's another one, which we've been expecting. The earthquake shows up. Then we started to feel the earthquake, and all of us were shaken. But God kept us on our feet. Praise the Lord. Well, we know that the visitation of the Lord in the man-child ministry and the smiting of the enemies of Zion come at a great earthquake. For instance, Isaiah 29:5-7, speaking about Ariel, which he explains in the context, is Zion, the bride, right? "But the multitude of thy foes," that means those gathered together like the Sennacherib scenario, "against Zion," against Jerusalem, the bride, "but the multitude of thy foes shall be like small dust, and the multitude of the terrible ones as chaff that passeth away." Now there is a multitude gathered together against the bride around the world who claim to be Christians, but who are attacking the veracity of the bride and of the man-child. "Yea, it shall be in an instant, suddenly." "She shall be visited of the Lord of hosts." There's that visitation. While they're encompassed by enemies, visited of the Lord of hosts with thunder, with earthquake and great noise, with whirlwind and tempest. I don't know if you know what raises up tempest, but nuclear weapons can certainly do that. "And the flame of a devouring fire," and it can do that too. "And the multitude of all the nations that fight against Ariel, even all that fight against her, and her stronghold, and that distress her, shall be as a dream, a vision of the night." Now, does that sound like the Sennacherib scenario we just talked about the Red Sea, about the fall of Babylon to Cyrus, Trump? So, then I started to notice that the tent was moving. I looked up and saw the shadow of snakes, and one of a huge one, the size of a boa constrictor. They were trying to get in the tent, looking for any kind of holes or opening to get in. And I yelled, "Look!" And Merlene looked up and put her hands on her face and said, "Oh, Lord!" and immediately started praying in tongues. Then everyone started to pray in tongues, commanding it to die and to come off of the roof. And all of us didn't move until it happened. In other words, it died and fell off the roof, right? Of course, tongues is a way to let the Holy Spirit pray through you according to the will of God. That's what we know. You know, reason people speak in tongues is because your mind hinders you from praying according to the will of God, but the Holy Spirit always knows what the will of God is. So He has you speak in a language you don't understand, so you won't interfere with what He wants to do. See, some people say, "Why speaking in tongues? Do you really have to understand it if God said it and called it a gift?" I say, no, you really don't. You just need to obey. Isaiah 26 and 20, this is a text that came to me as I read this. "Come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers, and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself for a little moment, until the indignation be overpassed." Sounds like the ark. Sounds like this tent, on and on. The indignation was going on outside. Martial law was going on outside. "For behold, the Lord cometh forth out of His place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth also shall disclose her blood, and shall no more cover her slain." So there was a lot of dead people laying around out there. And 27 and 1, the next verse. "In that day the Lord with His hard and great and strong sword will punish Leviathan, the swift serpent." Leviathan, the crooked serpent. "He will slay the monster that is in the sea." Sounds like to me repentance. We know what a sea is. The sea is the tribes of the earth, nations, multitudes, tongues, as described in the book of Revelation. So, like the woman who sits upon many waters, right? Because the harlot is in many different nations and tribes and tongues and peoples, right? "In that day, a vineyard of wine sing you into it. I, the Lord, am its keeper. I will water it every moment, lest any hurt it." Okay, here's those that are born fruit, a vineyard of wine. They've borne complete fruit. "And I will keep it night and day. Wrath is not in me. Would that the briars and the thorns were against me in battle. I would march upon them. I would burn them together. Or else let him take hold of my strength, that he may make peace with me. Yea, let him make peace with me." The day comes when God's going to demand repentance, and things as usual will pass away. We started to hear tanks and other military vehicles. We all knew that the soldiers were just outside the tent and talking in a different language, which is their way, of course. They use people from foreign lands to invade a land that they want to bring judgment on, because you don't understand their language and they don't understand yours. You just do what they motion for you to do, or they shoot you. And they don't have any qualms about doing that, because you're not their people. So that's why they put, you know, foreign troops on the soil of the nation they want to invade. Then I said, "Shh," very softly, with my finger to my lips. I said, They can't see us nor hear us. And then I woke up. So that's the secret place of the Most High. They can't see you or hear you. We've had many dreams like that about God protecting His people through the fact that they couldn't be seen by the enemy. This martial law, I believe, begins the captivity of the apostate church in America. But as we see, the bride is exempt from this. And also, the scriptures say this. We just looked at some of them. In the secret place, they're not seen or heard, as it says here. And in our morning meeting, very often we receive from the scriptures that apostate Christianity is going into Babylonish deep state captivity. Okay. But it will be the end for the deep state, truly. Because they were in captivity down there in that Red Sea. But it wasn't very long before the trap that they laid was sprung on them. Right. The second time I had this dream was the next day in dialysis, May the 30th, 2018. And when Michael Hare finished praying to dismiss the Monday night meeting, I heard Zechariah 5 and 9. Then I went to the kitchen and heard it again, Zechariah 5 and 9. Then in the morning after I had my dream, again I heard Zechariah 5 and 9. Then lifted up mine eyes and saw, and behold, there came forth two women, and the wind was in their wings. Now they had wings like the wings of a stork, and they lifted up the ephah between earth and heaven. So if we look at this in context, we can see something very interesting. This text is speaking of the wicked harlot going into Babylonish captivity. Yes, it is. So let's read it. Zechariah 5, 5 through 11. Then the angel that talked with me went forth and said unto me, Lift up now thine eyes and see, what is this that goeth forth? And I said, What is it? And he said, This is the ephah that goeth forth. He said, Moreover, this is the appearance, their appearance in all the land. And I believe that this is also saying, you know, that this is happening all over. That's basically what he wants you to see there. And behold, there was lifted up a talent of lead, and this is a woman sitting in the midst of the ephah. And he said, This is wickedness. This harlot is wickedness. And this Christianity, by the way, friends, that lies to God's people and does not teach the sum of thy words, which is the truth. It's wickedness. It's keeping them in bondage. They will die before their time without the knowledge that the Lord gave to His disciples. It's wickedness. And you wonder why they would come into Babylonish captivity, and many of them being killed in so many different ways, in judgments and so on, and the rest receiving the fear of the Lord and repenting and turning to the Lord. Well, it's coming. This is wickedness. And he cast her down into the midst of the ephah, and he cast the weight of lead upon the mouth thereof. In other words, she is in captivity. Then lifted I up mine eyes and saw, and behold, there came forth two women, and the wind was in their wings. Now they had wings like the wings of a stork. And they lifted up the ephah between earth and heaven. Then said I to the angel that talked with me, Whither do these bear the ephah? And he said unto me, To build her a house in the land of Shinar. Shinar is an early name for Babylon. And when it is prepared, she shall be set there in her own place. Gone into captivity, right? Now, you know, there are people that are ignorant but are in these churches. They're growing because they're reading the Bible. They're, you know, searching the Scriptures to see if these things be so. And they're growing and they're passing through and there's no condemnation upon them. There are others that have been sitting there for years and they don't bother to look at the Scriptures anymore. It bothers them because it seems contrary to the system and the men that they worship. Remember that Israel was in captivity to the Roman beast when the man-child Jesus, the son of David, visited his people. Now, once again, will he visit his people in beast captivity? And this also is the time of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit and the Red Sea destruction of Pharaoh's army, when Israel was baptized in the cloud and the sea to go into the wilderness tribulation. Jesus' visitation in the man-child body begins the revival with the outpouring of the former and the latter rain. Just going to touch on this for a minute here. This is another great aspect of all this that which is coming. We called it outpouring after the volcanic activity. Marilyn Klink received this on 6/4/18. She said, "I wanted to share a brief dream that I had tonight. I had just finished listening to Sunday's broadcast and dozed off. I remember hearing our son-in-law, Casey, come upstairs to tell Barry about the volcanic eruption that had just occurred in Guatemala." It just occurred. 6/4 is when she gave this, so it just occurred. "And the dream was given immediately after I heard Casey talking about the eruption." Listen to that. "The dream was given immediately after I heard Casey talking about the eruption." And my thought is, this may imply that the outpouring of the Holy Spirit comes shortly after the Guatemala volcanic eruption, which means we're close, right? It may mean that. It may mean that. "I was laying in bed when I felt an earthquake." Okay, so that kind of fits what we've already seen, right? I felt the earthquake. Suddenly, remember what happens during the earthquake, right? The Lord, the visitation of the Lord comes, right? Wow. "Suddenly there was an outpouring of the Holy Spirit." Well, that's who begins the revival, the Lord. "I immediately sat up and was praying loudly in tongues with a much expanded version of my prayer language." So there it is again, folks. When you're in trouble, pray in tongues. You're commanded to be filled with the Holy Spirit and with the evidence of speaking in tongues like they did in the book of Acts. Pay attention. Don't worry that your church isn't going there. Your church that doesn't believe in that is going into trouble. You know, you want to escape it? Be filled with the Holy Spirit. "As many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God." Sons of God don't have to worry about what's coming. "The power and the presence of the Holy Spirit was incredible and very real. And then I woke up. We live in an older two-story house with a basement. So essentially, our bedroom is on the third level. And I was wondering if this is symbolic of being in the upper room, as in the book of Acts, and being in bed as resting." Yes, I believe so. Praise God. "This short dream was so very encouraging, as I know many, as well as myself, are crying out for this outpouring and long to see our Lord Jesus glorified and many come into the kingdom as the revival begins." Yes. "May the Lord continue to grant you wisdom, grace, protection, and discernment as you faithfully watch over His sheep," she says. Okay, amen. Now, I want to remind you of this, and I'm going to put a couple of links here so that you can go and listen to this for yourself. But Alex Jones has insider CIA. There's some good guys in the CIA, by the way. That's what's getting the deep state CIA in such trouble. There's a few in there that are ratting on him. Right? He has insider CIA, people high up, he said, in the CIA, that brought him info that an EMP attack on major world cities is planned by the deep state and to be blamed on North Korea to start a war, a world war. And this was the reason North Korea surrendered, is they found out they were about to be nuked. So I'll put a couple of links to where he taught on this. And as you know, we've already had dreams and visions on our site about a coming EMP. I'll share this one, which I thought was pretty interesting. This was given 4 times to Mina Lee Greben. And this was December of 2016. And, of course, she thought this was coming in 2017, but she got a correction from the Lord that there was going to be a year's delay in this. So, anyway, there's a picture that she had posted of an EMP over a city that looks like New York City. But I'm sure she grabbed this off the internet. She's not saying what city, but the Washington Monument looking obelisk is in this depiction, and it looks like D.C. The depiction looks like a lower altitude, low yield burst causing a localized EMP. And I believe that the EMP is going to be localized. It may be localized in several places, but it's still going to be a localized. You see, the closer to the Earth they explode it, the less area it reaches. In other words, they can do more specific hits. They can take out cities, you know. And I believe the dream that she has supports this idea of a localized EMP. She said, I would like to share a dream that I had while in Wisconsin. She's not saying that it happened there. She's saying the dream came to her when she was there during one of my conferences. This dream occurred in the first weekend of November, right before the election. In the dream, I was standing outside at a side entrance of a building with 3 other people. We were standing on a ramp, chit-chatting about the day. It was a warm, beautiful afternoon. The sun was shining, and there wasn't a cloud in the sky. All of a sudden, something was detonated high up in the sky. There was a bright flash, and then a pulse. Which, of course, that's what EMP is, an electromagnetic pulse. And it overloads everything that runs on electricity, right? And I looked up to see where it came from. High up, I saw a plume of gray smoke from where the detonation took place. I urged the people that were with me to quickly go inside. We opened the double glass doors and quickly pulled them closed as the smoke began to descend. Once we were inside, I waited for the smoke to clear. It seemed to cover the area for quite some time. And when it seemed that everything was clear, I went back outside to assess if there had been any damage. And as I looked around, I saw no bodies and no one inside had been hurt. The buildings were all standing and had received no damage. But as I looked up the street towards my right, I noticed that cell towers and power lines were all bent to the ground. That's a symbolizing of the destruction of electricity, which is what an EMP does. And it doesn't hurt bodies. Now, the radiation from the nuke that went off will eventually descend, and that could hurt bodies. I saw one or two trees that were bent in the process, and my dream ended. But the weird thing is that after I had awakened, I pondered it for a few minutes, and then afterwards went back to sleep. And the dream repeated a second time. Now that sounds like it's surely going to happen. But it didn't stop there. About 2 weeks ago, while praying in the middle of the night, I fell asleep and found myself in a dream where I was looking up into the sky. And again, I saw some type of detonation go off high up. And once again, I saw this gray smoke coming from it and began to fill the sky. Okay, just remember that's back in 2016, right? Then last week I had an interesting dream where I was on an elevator trying to get off. The floors were listed in years. 2011, 2012, 2013, 2014, 2015, 2016, and 2017. And I got on the elevator at 2011. When the doors closed, I heard a voice speak, and it said, "Do not forget the things that I have shown you since 2011. I was trying to get off at 2016. But every time I attempted this, I'd end up on the wrong floor. Finally, I decided to get off at 2017 because I figured it was just a couple of weeks away anyhow. Well, to update this, it was prophesied to her after this that there would be a one-year delay, no doubt due to people praying in their loved ones and, you know, praying against the judgments and so on and so forth. So this does happen. So if it was a one-year delay, she'd be getting off in 2018. The doors opened at 2017 when I got off, and I found myself in a city park on a warm day. But everything was chaotic. There were guards, police officers, and the military patrolling everywhere. In other words, martial law. There was spraying stuff down with what looked like water. I would say this is getting rid of radiation. I didn't see any civilians walking around. A man dressed in military uniform yelled across the way, "Hey, what are you doing here? How did you get here?" Well, this looks like they were evacuated and couldn't make it back without electricity, vehicles, etc. This looks like, just from that statement, you can see that. And this would appear to also say that it was a more localized EMP from a lower altitude with a low-yield nuke and is not nationwide. Otherwise, what other place could they evacuate to? You know, if there's not a place that's not nuked, how could you get there? Okay. So I was frightened and I stumbled on my words to answer him. The man quickly walked over to where I was standing. "How did you get here?" he asked again. "I'm not sure what happened here."
"You don't know?"
No. No, sir. I don't know," I responded.
"You don't know about the detonation in the sky?" the man asked in a condescending tone.
I guess everybody in the nation probably heard about it, right?
My eyes widened. "It happened? It really happened? I saw this in a dream. I had three dreams about this," I exclaimed. The man looked confused for a second, and then he told me that I needed to leave. And the dream ended. I hesitated putting this out, but decided to do so after seeing this event four times. I know that since the election, many of the church have put down their swords and swear that peace and safety has come, and this is a dangerous illusion. Well, it depends on who you are. If you have believed the word and walked in obedience to the Lord, you can be at peace and safety as these people were. As always, take these things to prayer. Amen. Well, you know, I did a search of the internet yesterday and came across quite a few people that were sharing their dreams, many times in videos, of an EMP attack on the United States. And I personally believe it's going to happen, and that it won't be completely prayed away. Remember what the Lord told me when I asked him, "Can it be prayed away?" And he said, "No." And I said, "Well, can it be lessened?" And he said, "Yes." So the effects of it can be lessened. Some people believe that this EMP is going to be all over the nation. I've never believed that from the beginning. I do believe that when Russia invades at the end of the tribulation period, that they will first EMP the nation. All of the nation. And as I pointed out, they have a plan to first decapitate the government and then take over the nation. Send us back to the Dark Ages. They really wouldn't have to come and invade very quickly. I mean, they say within a year. Oh, I forget. 80 to 90% of the population, seems like it's somewhere in that range, would be dead. We've had dreams about the refuge and how that there was auxiliary lighting in the refuge for a time. And I remember, I believe this was Garrett Crawford's dream, and he was walking down south and leaving the refuge and inspecting things that he saw. He saw roving gangs running around with guns, seeking, of course, I imagine, food and whatever they can get or steal to keep them alive and these kind of things, you know. So when he saw that, he turned around and went back on the refuge. He noticed the lighting was dim, like it was auxiliary type lighting, and so on. Well, you can imagine what that does to the economy and what people out of work do, especially lost people out of work do, the kind of thing they do to provide for themselves and their families. And pretty soon they don't have a conscience to shoot anybody. In fact, there's quite a few people out there that don't have a conscience to not shoot anybody, you know. Well, saints, I just think we're headed towards a place. There needs to be some things happen. And one of those things is a restoration of the fear of the Lord. It's the beginning of wisdom. And the spirit of repentance. Many people are going to realize when these things start happening that, oh, those crazy Christians were right. And the things that they'd heard will come to mind, no doubt. And they will turn to the Bible. They will be looking for Bibles everywhere. I'm sure of it. And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, because there's a lot of Christians who don't have any fear of the Lord. They can read that book and ignore what God says and turn and listen to men. And you know, that's always cost lives, brought a lot of trouble into people's lives. So I'm convinced that there will at least be limited EMP. And there will also be asteroids coming in from outer space, according to some revelations, due to the close approach of Planet X, which is the destroyer, or was the destroyer, in Exodus 12. And it destroyed many, multitudes of people. And so it will be this time too, I'm quite sure. But it could be too, as I've explained in the past. I mean, I just try to fit things together, you know, and sometimes the Lord gives me light and sometimes not. But I watched the description of the incoming asteroids, or probably one that broke into three, and the places that they hit. One of them in particular hits on a fault line that goes all the way up the East Coast. And the East Coast earthquake, I'm considering, probably comes from that. And then there is the New Madrid. And then there is a backing up to the Tennessee Valley and on to the West Coast, which is going to take a severe hit too. So there's a connection. You know, there is, as I've pointed out before, there is an earth tide that happens when something very, very magnetic passes by. It actually pulls the earth up, just like normally the moon pulls the ocean up. But even with the moon, there's a slight earth tide, so you can imagine that this is true. And that's why I believe the earthquakes are going to sweep around the globe, because as the globe turns in relationship to this Planet X, it's going to cause an earth tide that causes earthquake after earthquake after earthquake, which is actually one big earthquake. kind of like in Revelation chapter 8, starts everything off, a big earthquake. Yeah. And we know that during that time the man-child is going to come. So the judgments beginning, I believe, is what causes God's people to remember and start claiming the Word and start getting into the secret place of the Most High. And of course, you read Psalm 91, you see that the way that they got into the secret place of the Most High was by confessing God before men. Many times people don't confess what the Bible says. See, this is why it's so important that you believe all of the Bible. You're going to need all of the benefits of the kingdom. And Psalm 103 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities and healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction." Whoa. "Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies." And, you know, where I was headed, of course, was Psalm 91, that confession that causes you to be in the secret place of the Most High. Let me read it to you here. "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." And as I've always said, who's going to bother you under there?
Right.
And notice what he says. How do you get to the secret place of the Most High? I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For He will deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the enemy. Pestilence. He will cover thee with His pinions. Notice a pestilence happens there. He will cover thee with His pinions. And under His wings shalt thou take refuge. So, he confesses that the Lord is his refuge. You see, that's what the Bible says. He became cursed for us, right? He gave us Abraham's blessings. Galatians 3 and 13. This is how we get confessed before the throne of God. Jesus is the high priest of our confession. And the high priest has to have somewhat to offer. And we as priests of the Lord give something to our high priest to offer before the throne of God. And it is our confession. He is the high priest of our confession, Paul said in Hebrews. So he offers what you confess. Confess means to speak the same as. When you agree with what God says, like what we're reading here, when you agree with what God says, you've repented of your sins, and you're agreeing with what God says in His Word, then you can have it, because then the Father confesses you to the angels of God, and they are ministering spirits who are sent forth to do service for them that are heirs of salvation. And salvation, as we have seen, is very big and large. It's not just getting saved, as some people call it, but saved from everything, saved from the curse of the law. His truth is a shield and a buckler. His truth is a shield. Speak the truth. Know the truth. Know that the principalities and powers can't take advantage of you unless you don't know the truth and won't use the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. They'll take advantage of you if you don't know the truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Free is what they were under the tent, right? And thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth in the day, for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, because you don't see pestilence, right? Remember, we talked about the coming pestilence, we talked about the earthquakes, we talked about these things that are going to wipe out millions of people. Nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes thou shalt behold and see the reward of the wicked. Gonna see a lot of dead folks out there. For thou, O Lord, art my refuge. Notice he's confessing this again, but he's making another point. Remember, that was the good confession back in 91. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge. And now he's saying it again. For thou, O Lord, art my refuge. And then he makes this statement. Thou hast made the Most High thy habitation. Because you confess Him as your refuge. You confess the Word of God, the truth. It's be it unto you according to your faith. If you don't believe it, you can't have it. Thou hast made the Most High thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy tent. Same thing as Passover in Exodus 12 and 13 on. Pretty interesting, huh? For he will give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways, all thy ways. So you can see the tent is not a physical tent, because there's going to be people all over. But it is a place of safety, not by man's methods or ability, but God's. They shall bear thee up in their hands, and thou shalt lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Even minor injuries, right? You're protected from. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder. The young lion and the serpent shalt thou trample under foot. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. What is it to love the Lord? You know, Jesus said so many times, he that keeps my commandments, it is to love me. Right? I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. How do you get to know the name of the Lord? Have you ever noticed that all through the Old Testament, there is a continual revelation of the name? Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Sid Kanu, should be YHWH, right? All these names are a different revelation of the provision of God for his people. And how do you get to know the name of the Lord? You become familiar with what God says in his word, especially the New Testament. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. How many churches do you know that have any answers? Something's wrong, isn't it? That they should pray, and not get any answers? Well, something's got to be wrong. First of all, they don't believe in getting answers. They believe in praying. So it's a problem. He said, I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. All that for confessing God as your refuge? Yeah. What awesome good news do we have? It is the good news, right? The good news. God's going to manifest his salvation to the people who know the good news. So they gathered in Exodus chapter 12. They slayed their lambs. The Lord said in verse 5, your lamb shall be without blemish, a male, a year old. A year represents death, burial, and resurrection. You know, our lamb went through the death, burial, and resurrection. That's how come he's our sacrifice, right? You shall take it from the flock, from the sheep, or from the goats, and you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at even. And they shall take of the blood and put it on the two side posts and on the lintel upon the houses wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire, and unleavened bread. Yes, they must begin to eat only unleavened bread. They were warned not to partake of anything that was leavened, which is the pure word. It will save you. And they shall eat the flesh of it that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread with bitter herbs. They shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor boiled at all with water, but roast it with fire, its head with its legs and with the inwards thereof. and you shall let nothing of it remain until the morning. So they were supposed to eat the whole lamb, basically. And I pointed out that the head represents the mind of Christ, and the inwards the heart of Christ, and the legs the walk of Christ. We're partaking of Christ because He is the Word, right? And guess what? There's no curse on Christ. He already bore that curse for us. And we have to believe that. And He said, let nothing of it remain until the morning. But that which remaineth of it until the morning, you shall burn with fire. Meaning it will be wasted. You want to consume all of the lamb. And thus shall you eat with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand. Meaning, you eat it and you're ready to walk out of Egypt, right? Because a lot of people, they read the word, but they don't act on it. Walking out of Egypt represents walking out from under the dominion of the old man who kept you in bondage, right? And you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will go through the land of Egypt in that night, and I will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt will I execute judgments. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses wherein you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Another term for Passover, right? And there shall no plague be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Now, wouldn't you like to have that kind of protection? There's nothing else in the world that offers that kind of protection. And there's nothing that can save an Egyptian. Nothing. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and you shall keep it a feast to the Lord. Throughout your generations you shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. 7 days shall you eat unleavened bread. This represents the tribulation period, because when they came out of Egypt, they went into the wilderness, and the wilderness is a tribulation. So what he's saying is, in the tribulation, you're only going to partake of the Word of God. Not some preacher's theories about it, but the Word of God. It will save you. And you shall put away leaven out of your houses. For whosoever eateth leaven bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. Ooh, that's rough, you know. So there's high motivation to find out the truth and be delivered from this curse coming upon the world, right? High motivation. And of course, in the tribulation period, there's going to be major judgments all over the world, much fear of the Lord. Of course, on the other side, there are people so demon-possessed that they don't want the Lord, and they're totally delivered over to their lusts with a reprobate mind. And down in 19, he says, 7 days shall there be no leaven found in your houses. For whosoever eateth that which is leavened, that soul shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he be a sojourner or one that is born in the land. You shall eat nothing leavened. In all your habitations shall you eat unleavened bread. And so that is a warning from God, you know, the 7 days, during the whole 7 days, we are to eat nothing but the Word of God. Many people have theories, and religions pass on their theories, and the Bible schools, just like the Pharisees did, pass on all their theories, you know. But Jesus didn't go to Bible school, and they wondered, where does this man learn letters? Having never learned, you know, how does he know all this? And he never went to our Bible school, you know. And of course, his disciples, you know, had limited education of, they always trusted in their priests, you know, to share the truth with them. And that's something that's not legal in the New Testament. We have to seek out our own salvation with fear and trembling, because we're all to be priests of the Lord, sacrificing flesh on his altar, right? Our flesh on his altar. So, this is what I think is coming. I think some of it can be lessened, and other parts have to happen. And we're coming to a great deliverance for those that love the Lord and keep his commandments. And at the same time, there is a great falling away in the land. Many who are not going to listen and who are going to persecute God's people, just like they did Jesus and his disciples. Of course, John the Baptist saw Jesus gathering his disciples, and he said, "He that hath the bride is the bridegroom." We just discovered the bride and the bridegroom are going to escape these things. And so, we know that God has made a way of escape for us. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you so much for sharing these dreams with us. We are sure that there's still a lot more in there to be gleaned. Not enough time to do it today. But for people to see exhortations, warnings. We know, Lord, that you've shown us that dreams can be warnings that don't have to come to pass because people repent, and dreams don't, it can be prophecies which of good things which can't, sometimes don't come to pass because people won't repent. So anyway, Lord, dreams and visions are can be changed, so can prophecies. For yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be destroyed. I mean, that was a prophecy out of the mouth of a prophet, and yet it was changed because of people repenting. So, Father, I believe that the overwhelming majority of the church is not going to repent before this judgment comes. But I know that you're going to show mercy in the midst of it. I know that you're going to hear our prayers for our families, and you're going to keep them, and you're going to deliver them, and you're going to cause them to come to know you. I remember seeing a vision of two of my boys I was looking across the Red Sea at the other side, and I saw two of my boys coming up the other side, which means at the beginning of the tribulation period. You know, they're going to become total disciples. And that's what it takes, folks, is disciples. Not just Christians, but disciples, you know. So, Lord, we just thank you so much for that. We know that you're going to do a wonderful thing in all of our families and all of our loved ones. We've prayed and we've believed and we're trusting in you, Lord. We thank you for bringing them in. We thank you that these even narrow misses in some of these cases are going to put the fear of God in people, and they'll turn to you. And we thank you that you're totally able and capable to bring to pass those things that we put into your hands by faith. And we just thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, okay, thank you, saints. Bless you for joining us today, and God be with you, and thank you for your prayers. You know, pray for the president, pray for the man child, pray for the situations, you know, that the enemy's not able to take unfair advantage of any situation, and that all things good, even good chastening, are going to happen to bring people to the Lord. Amen. All right. Good night. God bless you.